Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Ordinary Council meeting for July, Wednesday the 27th of July. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 5:38 and in doing so respectfully acknowledge the Gadiyara people whose land we're on this evening, respectfully acknowledging the contribution Gadiyara elders have made past and present for the betterment of the future city of Port Hedland. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Attendance as listed, 3.2 apologies nil, 3.3 approved leave of absence nil, 3.4 disclosure of interest. Deputy Mayor.
Mayor, as I'm the Commodore of the Yacht Club, I declare an impartial interest in 12.2.7, 12.2.10. And disclose that I have an impartial interest because I'm the Commodore of the Port Hedland Yacht Club. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Thank you. Councillor Gillingham?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Also with item 1.2.7, 12.2.10, regarding as a social member of the Yacht Club, I declare an impartiality with regards to this agenda item. I disclose that I have an impartiality interest because of being a social member. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Thank you, Councillor Hooper. Councillor Riff?
Madam Mayor, I would also like to declare impartiality as I am a social member of the Yacht Club, so 12.2.7 and 12.2.10. With regard to these items, I disclose that I have an impartial interest because I'm a social member of the Yacht Club. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Thank you. Councillor Melville?
I'll go with 12.3.2, Madam Mayor. Financial, as I'm a BHP employee, impartiality, as I'm on the coach at South Hedland as well.
Great, thank you. Councillor Newbury, Councillor Whitwell.
Yes, I've got an interest or impartiality in terms of the Yacht Club. Mm-hmm. I'm a full member of the Yacht Club, so I disclose that. And with regard to the agenda item, the agenda item, I disclose that I have an impartiality interest because, as a consequence, there may be a section of my impartiality on the matter that may be affected. I declare that I'll consider the matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Okay. Councillor Tarwell?
No.
Correct. Yes. I'll declare an interest in item 12.2.3, South Hedland Bowls and Tennis Club. I'm a financial member of the Bowls and Tennis Club and a volunteer member of the Badari Bowls Organising Group. I'll also declare an interest in item 12.2.1, Animals, Environment, Noise, Local Law. I declare an impartiality interest as I own poultry. I declare that with both those matters, as a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matters may be affected. I declare that I'll consider these matters on their merits and vote accordingly. Thank you, councillors. Okay, item 4, response to previous questions. 4.1, response to public questions taken on notice at the Ordinary Council meeting held on Wednesday the 22nd of June 2016. Item 4.1.1, Mr. George Dekash. There is an answer there. Item 4.1.2, Mr. Ron Atwood. There is an answer there. 4.2, response to elected member questions taken on notice at the Ordinary Council meeting held on Wednesday the 22nd of June. There are nil. 4.3, response to public questions taken on notice at the Special Council meeting held on Wednesday the 22nd of June, 29th of June and 11th of July. There are nil. 4.4, response to elected member questions taken on notice at the Special Council meetings held on Wednesday the 22nd of June, Wednesday the 29th of June and Monday the 11th of July. There are nil. Item 5, applications for leave of absence. Deputy Mayor.
No, Madam.
Councillor Gillingham?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The weekend of the 26th of August through to the 29th of August.
Great. Councillor Hooper?
Yes, there is, but I'm not prepared with the dates right at this moment. Can I get back to you?
Yes. Councillor Rick?
Madam Mayor, I'll be away from the 13th of August to the 13th of September.
Councillor Melville?
Nothing, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Newbury? Councillor Whitwell? Councillor Tarbo?
Nothing, thanks.
Councillor Hooper?
Not at this point, thank you, it's next time.
Okay, great. So can I have a mover and seconder for those? Moved Councillor Hooper, seconded Councillor Melville. Do I have any against? That leave application is passed. Item 6, attendance by telephone, instantaneous communications. Do I have any applications? Take that as no. Okay, item 7, public time. Just an important note, this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording of your participation, please indicate this at the outset. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. Members of the public also reminded that in accordance with section 6.17 in brackets 4 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on standing orders, mobile telephones must be switched off and not used during the course of the meeting. So there have been no requests for recording and no permissions have been granted for recording of proceedings. Item 7.1, public question time. I declare public question time open at 5:44. Do I have any public questions? If so, please come to the lectern. Please state your name and correspondence address nice and clear. And when you have finished, please give your question to governance so it can be captured. Thank you.
Yeah, John Peters, 1 Canning Cove, Port Hedland. Hey, Madam Mayor, my question is, lots of passing time was wasted in debating about the sponsor of Northwest Festival, and as we now know that Micro Reality has defaulted on that. My question is, did we have an agreement in place for sponsorship from Micro Reality?
Yes, we did.
Is Council contemplating legal action against Macro Reality now?
CEO, Acting CEO.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We will be providing at least a letter to begin with to state our position legally as per the contract, and we'll see what sort of response we receive from Macro Real Development.
The agreement is a public document. Is it available for public to have review of the document?
Acting CEO, is it a public document? It is a contract.
Through the chair, I'll defer that and just and take that on notice and provide a response at a later date, just to ensure that I'm not going to endanger any confidentiality or rights in regards to Macro or the town or Sunset as a tripartite contract.
When was this agreement signed with the Macro Reality?
Acting CEO?
I recall probably around March. I'll have to double check the exact date, but I'm pretty sure it was around March.
We'll take it on notice, give you the exact date.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peters. Are there any further public questions? Okay, I declare public question time closed at 5:47. Thank you. Public statement time, item 7.2. Are there any public statements? I have one statement. I will read it out. It came in via email from Jan Regan of Bottle Brush Crescent, South Hedland. Dear Town of Port Hedland, I would like to give you some positive feedback, as all too often we complain about things and don't give credit where credit is due. On two separate occasions over the last 24 hours, I've had dealings with two staff members from the Town of Port Hedland through my job at Water Corporation. Unfortunately, I don't know the names of those concerned. However, they came to our depot and had to use our security gate speakers. The tone they used and the politeness was a credit to both of them, something I am not used to, as more often than not people can be quite rude when they speak into a speaker to gain access to our premises. Your two staff are very welcome exception to the rule and deserve credit for being polite human beings. I thought I would mention this to you, for I'd like to know, I'd also like to know when I am doing something right. So, Acting CEO, I'll pass that on to you, as well as governance, and whoever those people are, please pass on our full commendations. Okay, if there's no further public statements, I declare public statement time closed at 5:48. Thank you very much. Okay, 7.3, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions. We have 7.3.1, the presentation of the Best of Hedland Awards 2016. CEO, it gives me great pleasure to give you these fantastic awards here. We are a finalist, we were a finalist in the Best Workplace, Town of Port Hedland. And we were a winner in two categories. Winner, Best Local Event, awarded to Northwest Festival. And winner, Best Entertainment Venue, Matt Dan Theatre and Cinema. Please let us display them with pride in the foyers of our building here and at the Matt Dan, and well done for commendations to all our staff involved. Well done. Thank you. Okay, 7.3.2, we have a presentation this evening from the WA Police. Welcome, welcome officers in charge, Dean Snatchell, Jade Moraski, and Inspector Ricky Chadwick. Welcome, welcome to the council chambers. Please make yourself welcome.
You're probably hear me because I'm quite loud anyway, I'm not talking. All my staff tell me I'm loud anyway. Look, Dean Snatchell is my name. I'm the Senior Sergeant Officer in charge of South Hedland Police Station. Jade Morowski will be having a chat with you all after myself. He's the officer at Port Hedland, and as Madam Mayor stated, Inspector Ricky Chadwick, who's just taken over as my line manager down in Karratha, so the inspector for the East Pilbara region. And he's up here for the week, getting to know my staff and Jade. So it's good timing on his part to be here tonight. So thank you, Madam Mayor, Deputy Mayor, councillors, and Town of Port Hedland staff for having me here. I just want to start off by giving a quick snapshot. I've been in town for about 15 months now, running South Hedland Police. As some of you would know, South Hedland Police Station is the larger police station of the two that we have. So I have currently 42 staff at South Hedland. The complex itself, if you include detectives and forensic officers in the back of house staff, houses about 51, 52. Port Hedland staff, what have you got now? Five? And Jade, so six in the building? Yep. So between the two of us, the two stations, we've got about 48 operational staff within the sub-district of two subjects. South Hedland. So as I said, I've been here 15 months. What I plan on doing tonight is, as we are at the end of the start of the new financial year, I plan to go back over our statistics for the previous financial year, give you some stats on some of the significant offences, explain to you where we've sort of fallen down, some of the areas that have creeped up, and some of the good work that we've done over the last 12 months. So that's what I plan on doing tonight. And then Jay will come in behind me and just give you a snapshot of what we're doing in the next few months and some of the good results we've had over during Operational AVIAT, which has been running now for about 4 weeks. So the 2015-16 financial year statistics, we ended up over in some areas, most areas except assault. So burglaries were 5% up on the previous year. Now, all the statistics that I'm going to give you are relative to the year previous. So we always rate ourselves on what we had the previous year. So unless I say otherwise, the percentages are based on what we had the previous year. Burglaries up 5%. We were 3% down on stealing of cars, which includes quad bikes. We were 19% up in stealings and 13% up in damage offences. So the stealing and damage offences were our big issues, mainly towards the latter part of the year. I want to just say on that the 5-year average, we were on a par with offending in the the South Hedland sub-district. So whilst we were up on the last year, on, as far as five-year averages go, we were well within our average crime rates. Secondly to that, it was about February this year that we determined that we were having a spike in crime. So during the course of the December school holidays, January school holidays, we had spikes in burglaries and stealing of cars. And that was our first probably real issue with regards to rock throwing by a lot of the juveniles around town. So we were getting a lot of damage offences. So at that point, so at the point of 28th of February, in fact 29th of February, because we had a leap year last year this year, we were tracking in a reasonably bad space. We were 17% up on burglaries at that point, 44% up in stealing of cars, 22% up in stealings, and 11% up in damages. So that instigated what we call Operation Double Shot, which I've been in the media about, in the local papers, on the radio, and it's been spoken about a lot. That was a statewide operation, not just a South Hedland operation. As a result of that Operation Double Shot, we focused a lot on our juvenile issues, mainly at night. A lot of the offending was coming from juveniles, pack groups walking around South Hedland mainly, breaking, sprinklers breaking into cars, a lot of wanted damage, a lot of stealing from cars, and a lot of quad bike activity. So during the course between March and the end of Operation Double Shot, which was June 30, we managed to get those figures down to the ones I mentioned in the first instance. So for example, burglaries, we were tracking 17% up, we got that down to 5% over by the end of the financial year. So steel motor vehicles were up 44%, as I said, at the end of February. We got that down to under negative 3%, so we had a really big turnaround in stolen vehicles. And our stealings decreased by 3%, and damages unfortunately went up about 2%. So in most of our critical volume crime areas, what we call volume crime offences, we managed to put a bit of a lid on the problems that we were having in that latter part of 2015 into the early part of 2016. So we were quite pleased with the way we ended up, and again on track with our five-year average. I'm not sure if it was at the last council meeting, because I know we've had some changes on council, but I presented, I think, back in September last year, may have been October, and I spoke at that point about where Port Hedland and South Hedland were in 2010, 11, 12, 13, as we were in 2015. And I just want to go back to that comment, because I think it's important, given, I suppose, in 2016, the way we perceive crime, and I'm not saying we don't have a crime problem, because we do, like any other town, we've got some significant social issues. But I think social media and the in-your-face type of reporting for crime just sparks a little bit of heat in debates within the community. Are we out of control or are we not? So interestingly, I just want to give you these figures. So in 2010 and 11, if you combined, and I'm only looking at the our volume crime offences of burglary and steel motor vehicles, they're the two areas where we struggle quite regularly. Burglaries in the combination of Port and South Hedland, we had 538 reported burglaries for the 2010 and 11 financial year. In 14-15, so the financial year before last, we had 406, and this year we just ended at 396. So if you look at the comparison for 4 years ago, we are down 140 burglaries that in the combined Port and South that we were back in 2010-11. Steel motor vehicles is even more of a change. We had 242 reported stolen cars in the 2010-11 year. In 2014-15 we had 125, and we managed to get that to 112 for the 15-16 year. So I think it puts a bit of perspective in where we're at. Yes, we do have some issues, but I'm going to get onto it in a minute. But as far as crime, we're pretty comfortable that on a five-year average we're doing pretty well, but we want to do a lot more work around especially the juvenile issues around stealings and damages, because that's where we've been hurt in the last 6 months. In relation to tasking, just to give you a bit of a snapshot of my staff, so in 2015, the calendar year, we attended 12,600 jobs. That's a huge demand given our station size, and in a town like South Hedland, when you don't have the ability to call upon other stations, it becomes quite a demand on our resources. We arrested 1,900 people and we charged them with 2,400 offences. So there's a fair bit of really good work being done within the police station. Some of that I've been really keen on ensuring we report. Some of it doesn't get out probably as much as I would like, and that's something that I have to work on in relation to publicising our really good work, but I have a fairly good relationship with the local media, and I try to get that out in radio and print media as much as I can to let the town know some of the good work we're doing. And I hope you would all agree that, you know, our Twitter and Facebook posts that we are making, especially around the quad bike issues, which Jane will talk about shortly, we're getting some really good responses from the community in relation to some of that work that we're doing. Just in on the tasking front, so the figure I gave you, 12,600 jobs roughly in 2015. So far in 2016, we've attended 7,433 jobs. So that includes up to the 30th of June. So for the 6 months, we're already at 7,400. That equates to a 15% rise in tasking. What we put that down to, it's hard to put a finger on, but the tasking and the calls to the police station have increased, and that's not just an issue for South Midland, that is across the board. Across regional WA and across the metropolitan area, we've had an increase over the last 3 years, significant increase in calls for for police assistance for one reason or another. So again, that demand is there that I have to manage with my staff. And I think one of the things that I say and I'm trying to get through to my staff is that sometimes the pressure can get to them, but I want them to do the job properly the first time. So it may be that in some cases, people have to wait for our attendance for non-urgent jobs. The days of calling the police and having us there within a minute or two have gone well and truly, unless it's an urgent job, which obviously we prioritise, but we want to make sure that we give the victim of crime that we are attending in the first instance 100% of our effort and time, and sometimes that takes a bit of time. So I really, in most of the forums that I present in, I'm very, very quick to defend my staff and to make sure that the public understand that I want them to be courteous and to spend time, and it might only be an extra 2 to 5 minutes at a house, but that makes a world of difference to a victim, and it certainly makes a world of difference to their perception of police. So we manage, we don't have very many jobs. We're lucky because we are everything's fairly close, so we don't have too many long delays, but some of those really non-urgent offences where probably they could be done online or over the phone, we encourage in relation to our demand reduction for people to really look at other options of reporting rather than taking up my officer's time on the phone or at the front counter when I really want them on the front line. So that's somewhere where the agency has been in for the last 3 years now, really looking at how we can reduce demand on our resources to ensure that we've got everyone or as many people on the front line. Because I know as a dad and as a husband, you know, I would rather police officers, if I wasn't in this job, on the road attending to my wife's or my kids' needs and their time of need immediately, rather than having them tied up at the front counter taking a report for a stolen garden gnome, which could have been done over the online. So some of those things we try to just interact with people and make sure, and a lot of the stuff that I do through my eWatch, which I've only put out 2 this year, which will be increased to every month, is the demand reduction and the way other people can report offences to make our job a bit easier. So just getting on quickly to some of the things that we've done. I spoke briefly about Operation Double Shot. There's been a bit of media around some of the issues that we had in relation to juveniles. So Operation Double Shot, what we did a lot differently up here, which hadn't been done anywhere in the state up until this time, is we co-patrolled, we did joint patrols with CPFS, and in fact we're still doing those joint patrols up until now. We've had 6 joint patrols with the old DCP staff, CPFS as they're called now, and we're going to continue that into the future. But over the course of 15 nights through March through June, we stopped and redirected 486 juveniles aged between the age of 3 and 16 from the streets between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. Those 486 obviously aren't individuals. We're getting double ups and the same kids popping up all the time, but we're pretty confident that we've got plus 100 at least kids roaming the streets at any given time. What that enabled us to do was, especially with CPFS, is for them to get a fairly good appreciation of the issues that, as police officers, one of the only main agencies that works a 24/7 roster and sees what's going on, gave them more of an appreciation for what the issues are. It also gave us a better ability to refer those kids in a real-time environment rather than waiting until 2 days or a week later. So we've been really happy with the success of that operation, and we have no doubt that a lot of those kids being removed from the street help reduce our crime or put a stop on it through the latter parts of that last part of the financial year. So we had, just in March, for example, the 5 days we ran, we had 62 fewer calls for assistance, and then we had a reduction of 35% for that particular week in reported offences, and that was in comparison to the week prior and the week of the year prior. So there's no doubt that some of our kids are creating a lot of that antisocial calling out of rock throwing and damages and stealing of cars and the quad bikes as well. So really happy with that, and that'll continue. Obviously, there's a lot more broader issues here. We've got significant social issues in South Hedland, not dissimilar to every regional WA town that we've got. So there's no need for me to go into those, but we know that alcohol plays a big factor in that. Drugs as well, obviously, but alcohol still is a number one drug, without a doubt. We do have a drug problem in town, just like every other place. It's no different to any other place, but alcohol still is a contributing factor for most of our DV assaults and most of our issues in relation to juveniles not wanting to be at home. So the flow-on effect for the alcohol is still probably the biggest factor in our job. The other thing I spoke about quickly, I'm mindful of time, but I talked at last council meeting about demand reduction in our top five houses. We ran an operation last year with five houses that we attended. The results I gave at the last council meeting were very encouraging in that we changed over to another five houses. We had a 58% reduction in turnouts to two of those five. Unfortunately, three of the five are still maintained, and we're talking about 90 attendances in a three-month period, so they're taking up a lot of our time. We've just taken on another five new houses. So those, what we do in relation to that is they're allocated to a team of police officers, and we pay proactive visits to those houses. We don't wait for the call-outs. We try to get in there in the afternoon and tip the grog out and remove it. They're all liquor-restricted Homes West properties, so they can't have grog there. And we work with Homes West and with CPFS to do some work around the issues that the kids are having in that family environment. So rather than waiting for the call, we get in early. And we found that, not in all cases, because we still have some houses that are bucking the trend, but in most cases we're having some really good results when we're targeting those houses more regularly. Alcohol and social behaviour in the CBD. I hope that everyone's seen the increase in police presence around the shops and around that area of town, mainly in South Hedland, obviously. We've put a fair bit of effort into having a presence down there with our police truck and having police on the beat. We've got really good relationships with the security. I know I meet with Madam Mayor, with people from Lottery's House, and we're working through strategies in relation to the antisocial behaviour fighting that goes along in Centenary Park, all those sorts of places. So we're doing a lot of work in that space. We'll continue to do it. And a lot of the operations that Jade will mention shortly will be focusing on that part of it, because it's the public perception, that's what the community sees when they walk into the shops, and that's where I've said since I got here that I want to target as much of our resources as we can. So hopefully you've seen a bit of a change in that area. Other than that, I suppose I'm just going to end on this note before I call Jade up, is that alcohol, as I said, is our number one issue. I think as a community, and when I say a community, I'm not going to be here in 3-4 years' time, so it's easy for me to stand up here or go to meetings and tell everyone what they need to do. But I think South Hedland, we're going to get to a position where there needs to be serious considerations to restricting alcohol in maybe a bigger way, or adopting some of the initiatives that other towns are adopting, because the social issues of alcohol and what it's doing and the flow and effect to resources in this town won't stop. In 20 years' time, I come back here, it's going to be exactly the same, I can guarantee it. What we do is we try to prevent and reduce the risk as we stand here today, but the issues aren't going to go away. They're significant issues, and it's going to take the whole town to help out, and that's why when I say in the media, it's a community problem, we need your support. That's exactly what it is. So that just watch your space in relation to that. It's discussions that we'll have over the coming 12 months, and we're placing a very keen eye on places like Kununurra and Ceduna and Geraldton that are trialling these sorts of radical ideas. And it may work, it may not, but it's something that I think as a town you need to consider at some point. So thanks for your time. I'll just pass over to Jay, because he's just going to quickly fill you in on some of the work we've got upcoming.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
I certainly don't need a microphone, but about this one here. Madam Mayor, Deputy Mayor and Councillors, thank you for the time tonight. My name is Jay Morawski. I'm the officer in charge of Port Hedland Police Station. First, I'll tell you a little bit about my building next to Woods, my police station, with a small police station on Anderson Street that's often forgotten about up here in Port Hedland. Normally it's staffed by myself as the OIC and five constables as my patrol and inquiry officers. We are responsible in this inner town of Port Hedland for policing the Port Hedland sub-district, which is the West End, Port Hedland, Cook Point, Prequel. We're also responsible for policing some of the very critical infrastructure that we have up here in Hedland, including the International Airport, the Port of Port Hedland and Finucan Island. Also, the majority of the major events within the town of Port Hedland are managed by us at Port Hedland Police Station, including the Northwest Festival, I should say, the award-winning Northwest Festival, the Spinifex Spree, and the race events at the Port Hedland Racecourse, including Ladies Day and Port Hedland Cup. We also provide management and oversight of licensed premises, including the Walkabout Hotel, Pier Hotel, and the Esplanade. The daily request for assistance from the public and response to reported crime for Port Hedland Police Station is quite manageable and can be considered quite low in comparison to South Hedland Police Station. On average at Port Hedland Police Station, we respond between 3 and 5 tasks a day, compared to South Hedland, which is about 40 tasks a day. So I assumed control of Port Hedland Police Station in April of 2016, and as of today, I've been the OIC there for 3 months, so please hold your applause. Prior to being Port Hedland Police Station, I was the supervisor of South Hedland Police Station, and I had the opportunity to act in Senior Sergeant Snashel's role, so I have a good understanding of the problems in South Hedland and the issues that the community faces. To me, it soon became quite apparent that despite their geographical proximity and cross-pollination of offenders, there's a significant disparity between the demand between Port Hedland Police Station and South Hedland Police Station. It's evident that the South Hedland sub-district faces ongoing daily pressures, inclusive of a high rate of volume crime, antisocial behaviour, whilst Port Hedland Police Station experiences a much lower rate of offending. In an effort to redress the disparity in resource demand and provide a benefit to you, the local community, I actually made a proposal not long after taking the role as OIC to the Pilbara District Command Team to undertake a local experiment and change the way business is undertaken up here in the town of Port Hedland between the two police sub-districts. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about now. Basically, the experiment is that Port Hedland Police Station, with myself in as the OIC, take responsibility for the reactive and proactive volume crime response, and South Hedland Police Station continue in a tasking capacity and take on a tasking response within the Port Hedland sub-district. The trial period or experiment has been in operation since June 6, and it's going to run for 3 calendar months to start off with. So we've spoken about volume crime and a volume crime team. I'll let you know what a volume crime team is. And that's basically a group of officers that's tasked to investigate and resolve crimes such as burglary, fraud, stealing, damage. One of the primary roles of the volume crime team is to investigate crime series such as damages to vehicles overnight or a spate of light burglaries. Historically, a volume crime team is not involved in proactive policing, instead they take on a reactive investigative role. Currently, the Hedland Volume Crime Team based at Port Hedland Station is somewhat different, and it's designed to operate in the traditional reactive role and also in a proactive fashion, whereby we're trying to get in front of crime and prevent it happening in the first instance. As of now, the team is responsible for policing the volume crime in both Port and South Hedland sub-districts, whilst maintaining a daily presence for front counter inquiries at the Port Hedland Police Station. At the moment, we have a secondment of staff from South Hedland Police Station to assist and supplement our numbers. In the near future, it's hoped that a more permanent arrangement can be made, and we'll get to a stage where we have, in essence, 10 officers working from the Port Hedland Police Station. So effectively, we'd like to have 6 officers working at any one time and have another 2 officers working complementary shifts and giving capacity therein to have leave as well. It's envisaged this cadre of officers will be able to rapidly respond to local crime, any significant incidents such as land searches, planned policing events like the Port Hedland Cup, and immediate response to criticalism, such as road crash and so forth. So we've been doing it for a couple of months now, and despite the relatively short time frame of the trial today, the results are extremely positive and show significant promise. So far, in a reactive capacity, the Headland Inquiry team have arrested and charged 47 individuals in the last 2 months for offences ranging from burglary to aggravated assault to fraud to criminal damage by fire. We've reduced the outstanding warrant holdings across both sub-districts by 80%, and we've reduced the crime file holdings across both stations by 66%. We've undertaken 6 search warrants and recovered stolen property and illicit drugs. We've charged multiple people with drug and property offences. One high-profile example of what an active organ crime like the one we're using at the moment can do is the issue of quad bikes that have been plaguing the Headland community for quite some time. Given the community sentiment, the Headland Volume Crime Team focused on locating and apprehending those few people in the community that were responsible for causing grief to so many. And as a result, we've laid charges against 8 people and seized 5 quad bikes. The resultant social media response shows us that the community appreciate what we're doing. In a proactive capacity, we're currently running an operation named Operation Aviate, which is designed as a crime suppression operation. There are 4 underlying priorities for Operation Aviate. 1 is lawful road user behaviour. 2 is antisocial behaviour in public areas. 3 is the location apprehension of high-risk individuals with outstanding warrants. And the detection and engagement with at-risk youth. The first priority has been enacted by using some specialist traffic resources. I'm sure you've all seen them driving around town in their highly marked vehicle. They've been in town targeting what we categorise as Category A offences, which are those offences that we know to be linked to serious and fatal vehicle collisions. And we've been quite successful to date. So far, in a traffic sense, we've stopped 1,609 vehicles and issued over 230 infringements. We've charged 29 people for driving offences and seized 8 vehicles. Part of that push was a vehicle checkpoint on July 9, where we stopped just shy of 400 vehicles in 1 day. The antisocial behaviour element of the operation has seen officers tasked to spend their entire shift in a highly visible fashion, at the South Headland Forum and the Boulevard shopping centres. This has resulted in a noticeable rise in community sentiment, as evidenced by further comments on social media, and I thank the Deputy Mayor for some of his comments in the media. Importantly, we've noted with our own internal statistical recording that offending in those areas is significantly down when police are able to maintain a presence in those areas. Of all of these, I believe the most important, however, is the detection and engagement with the at-risk youth during our designated juvenile patrols. As Senior Sergeant Snashel mentioned, it sees us partner with our agency partners at the Child Protection and Family Services team. And we actually seek out and engage with youth who are walking around unsupervised overnight. The last operation that we ran in early July was for 2 nights, and over those 2 nights, we encountered and interacted with 55 separate unsupervised youths between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. The youngest of those children was 9 years of age. The evidence suggests that when we run operations of this nature, we reduce offences comparative to when normal policing is undertaken. We've seen a reduction of burglary offences by 62.5% when those operations are underway. We've seen a reduction in stealing offences by 39% and a reduction in damage offences by 56%. This is ongoing work. The next joint patrol will be on the 5th and 6th of August. And also for these patrols, we're going to be joined by members of the local Mingle Mob as well. We're going to get out in front and see what we do out on the front line. The results and success of the change in policing business in Port and South Headland will be assessed in mid-August, and a decision as to the ongoing direction will be made by the Pilbara District Office team. In the meantime, volume crime operations will continue as we continue to attempt to suppress crime. We're currently also engaged in a project to assist within the 3 Mile community and to reduce the incidence of youth offending emanating from that location. And this is a work in progress, and I look forward to presenting on those results in the future. Policing as we're doing it now is somewhat different to previous years. Rather than being sub-district centric, this trial is considering a local area approach. And it says about making real change. I like to think of it as a policing without borders approach. The considered reallocation of existing local policing resources is a cost-neutral initiative that will likely drive down crime and increase public satisfaction in policing services. Ultimately, the results of this trial will be tracked and tested, with the ultimate measure being a reduction in crime in South Headland, whilst not increasing the crime in Port Headland. or diminishing any services to the local community within Port Hedland. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the time. I'll hand over to Inspector Chadwick.
Madam Mayor, Deputy Mayor and Councillors, look, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you all. I'll be very brief. I know you've got a busy schedule tonight. Just want to introduce myself. I'm based at Karratha, but I look after the East Pilbara. I've certainly been up here probably 2 weeks of the last three, just getting to know Jade and his team and Dean and his team. I'm certainly mindful of some of the issues that you have in the town and in the community, but I want to let you know that WA Police are really committed to making an impact and making sure that the safety and security of the communities in both Port and South Hedland is our priority. As you're probably aware, we've conducted a review. The independent inspector has come up and he's spoken to the community, the police, and from that review, we'll certainly look at things that we may or may not need to do to make this a better place. On behalf of Inspector Park, I wanted to extend his appreciation for the time that the Mayor and the Deputy Mayor gave him. He's most impressed. He believes that you have a very progressive thinking council who are really committed and focused on community safety. So that's going to make my job and my colleagues a lot easier moving forward. Policing is very complex now. Just the changes on a daily basis through technology and other systems that come in, the level of scrutiny, the public expectations are higher, the demand is higher. So we need to move with the times, we need to examine our business, and we need to make sure it's effective and efficient and the public are getting bang for their buck, but also in times of need, we're there to respond and give a quality service. So that's our goal. I certainly look forward to working with everyone in this room at some stage and the view to making ultimately a better place to live. So thank you, everyone.
Councillors, I'll open it up. Are there any questions? Yes, Councillor Gillingham.
I don't actually have a question, Madam Chair, but I'd just like to say to our person from the police station that I know that the perception from our community regarding living in Port Hedland, Cook Point, is supposed to be safe and less compared to South Hedland. But over the years, you know, I've had to sort of telephone our police station over a number of instances in my area. But I'd like to say a big commendation to you all because the swiftness and the promptness that you do attend, and sometimes there's somebody's life in threat, but also the time that you've taken and spent that little bit of extra time with those people, people in my neighbourhood, and I'd say thank you very much because it does make a difference. It really does. And just having a police presence and often seeing the vehicles going around, it does really make a difference. So thank you very much.
That's great, and thanks for that, because we don't get a lot of good feedback all the time, and sometimes that does come at the detriment of our officers, because they're forever seeing the bad side of people. So I'll take that back to them, and I'm sure Jade will as well, because it's good to get that good feedback every now and then, just to pump up their tyres and make sure that they get out there for another 10 hours and give the community what you expect. So thanks for that.
There's lots of sensitive areas I know that you have to deal with, and that there has been some sensitive areas in Port Hedland, in Cook Point especially, and to be able to deal with them and help people progress to a better way as well is really refreshing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Whitwell?
Oh look, it's a double-sided business, it's the public and the police. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed, and I wonder whether you've noticed this, that quite a few public buildings or semi-public buildings like small schools and that sort of thing, they don't have any surveillance at all, which means that when you're trying to apprehend somebody, it's extremely difficult to know who was there and who wasn't there. So,
Yeah, so I think one thing we'll say right now is that we're very lucky as a police IOC to have a town that has so many good cameras. We've got lots of cameras at the town of Port Hedland over the years and put in place. I don't know, we're in a good space in that regard now with the recent contract. So those cameras are brilliant. But you're right, there's a lot of businesses. In 2016, I think the cost of CCTV is so minimal. really is to put in and maintain. We would like to see every business have some sort of their own security, and I think it's incumbent on people. Public buildings, I get, like schools, hospitals will have obviously CCTV. Obviously, government buildings, there's cost issues associated with those. But all in all, our CCTV access in South and Port is pretty good. We use, and I'll just take the opportunity to say that the footage that we get and the cameras, and a couple of new cameras were updated for the South Headland shopping centre the other day, the digital footage we get from that is unbelievable. And at night, it's just, we used it the other day, and I think I might have spoken at a meeting I was at the mayor with it. I could zoom right in and tell, almost see the expiry date on the can of export on in someone's hand standing outside of the land the other day, and just watched him until my officers got down there. So they are very good, and we do use them quite a bit. And I think, you know, we've got a trial tomorrow that's using some of the footage from those cameras. So, yeah.
Any other questions? Councillor Melville, then Councillor Blanco.
Yeah, I've got a couple, Madam Mayor, but I'll try to be relatively brief. With the stats that you come up with, so just for my understanding, there was an incident in the street and three cars were damaged. Is that one incident, or is that
it's three
separate?
Yep.
And how many would be, and you touched on it briefly, about how many of those incidents would be alcohol and drug related as opposed to alcohol? And I know it's different.
Yeah.
And
look,
it was a loaded question. But
yeah. No. Look, I'm happy to answer that. Look, it's fair to say it's hard with the juvenile adult variation, but we're pretty confident now that unfortunately a lot of our juveniles are smoking cannabis, and even some as young as 12 are using amphetamine. So we know that that's happening. We know they're drinking alcohol as well. I often joke and say that 99% of our work is alcohol and drug related, and sometimes people think I'm joking, but that's what it seems to be. The majority of the offending is alcohol, but there is alcohol and drug related, without a doubt. I couldn't give you an exact percentage on that. A lot of the kids we pick up are intoxicated, a lot of the adults that we pick up for that sort of damage, those low level damage offences are intoxicated. So just in answer to your question, each vehicle has a separate owner, so we must put a separate report on. Mm-hmm. So it goes on the victim, not the location of where the offending happened.
Right, yeah. Okay. So I guess with the different hats I wear, I'll be pretty naive to think that, say, my footballers or juniors or whatever they might be would be totally alcohol and drug free and their extended family. So
yeah.
From a community perspective, what can we do to be proactive and help the situation and not use the stick approach?
And I've touched on that in the last comment. I said, look, I think the social issues are systemic. They've been around for many, many years. They're going to continue to be around for many, many years. What I ask in the community, there's nothing directly you can do, but I think if we're looking down the track into the future, I think we seriously need to consider that the relationship that we have with the Liquor Accord and some of the things that we can do in that space might need to be ramped up a bit in relation to restricting the alcohol to, I know it's a minority group that are causing the problem, but the reality is they're not stopping on their own. So there might be a little bit of pain for the everyday us, me. But you know, that pain isn't that much. You know, I'll take the liquor restrictions we put in place twice last year, and the amount of whinging that happened on Facebook was phenomenal. People, because they can't buy more than one carton of full strength beer, the world ends in one day. It's like if you want to drink 24 cans of full strength beer and then go get another carton, you've got a serious problem. So look, the restrictions are never going to stop you having a social life, but we have to start looking at what Kununurra are doing. We have to start looking at what other places are doing. There is certainly some evidence coming in that there's some displacement from the Kimberley to the Pilbara. I was only at a meeting this morning where a lot of the other agencies were reporting people from Kununurra, Hawke's Creek, Belgo, Columbaroo, living out of 2 Mile. I've just come back from Kununurra. There's been a change in crime up there in relation to this, and it's pushed a lot of people down here. We're going to have to think about taking some really strong steps in the future, and that's what the community can do, is instead of maybe not being happy with it or not sitting around the table discussing it, we need to certainly consider it open minds is what I ask from the community. We've done some work around trying to get some of the local Aboriginal people around the table, some of the elders, and see what we can do in relation to that. But we're talking about chronic alcoholics here. People that we deal with outside the shops aren't going to stop drinking tomorrow. They're not going to go anywhere. They're here. We've got to try and deal with it the best we can, and it might be radical what we have to do. I haven't got the answers, but when I do, I'll be sure to let you all know and ask for your assistance.
Councillor Blanco.
Look, I spoke to the sergeant about this when I forced him to ride up the marina. What was it? Marina survey a few months ago. He had the same sort of idea where for the town we implement a permit. System where everybody in town, you know, has to apply for a permit to purchase alcohol, and we put that trial in, 3 months to get your permit, and then if you don't have that permit, you can't purchase alcohol. As people, break the law and are antisocial, that permit gets taken off them. And eventually, within 12 months, we've sorted quite a high percentage of issues out. Obviously, this is a generational issue that hasn't been fixed by, all sorts of programs that are going on. The liquor court is not working. That's a measure that, I would like to put up, with the support of council, the police, and government, child agencies, that will work. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think what you've got there is you've got some significant legislative changes that need to be made. I'm not sure if that's something that a council can implement. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I like your idea. I just don't think that there's a bit of work that will need to be done around that. I think the space that state government are in at the moment is looking at trying these card systems for, they have cards for payments instead of their selling cards coming as cashes, they have food vouchers and all that sort of stuff, and that's why I keep mentioning Cunnamurra, because I know they're about 2 months into that trial at the moment. That's the space that I think as the government's in at the moment, and I can't talk around that because I don't know where that's at. I know we've got significant alcohol issues, and I know they've been around for a long, long time, and probably will be for the time for a lot longer into the future. But those sorts of things are beyond me. That's at a really high level to make those work. So in the interim, we have a liquor court, and we do our best with those people, bearing in mind they're business owners and have their own take on things. But they're very proactive in the space of trying to restrict alcohol myself and Jade know that we've got issues. I think there's a bit of work we can do with them. I agree with you. There's certainly some other options we can look at, and I'm going to work with the Director of Liquor Licensing in relation to that and the Liquor Court. And I know the conversations I've had with Mr. Chadwick in the last 3 days in relation to that is that we're in a space now where we're going to look more significantly at the alcohol consumption and the sale of supply of the in South Island. So take it away, we haven't got any issues, honestly. That is right, but it's unfortunately a part of life, and it's there, and we've got to try and deal with it.
Just one more, Madam Mayor. Operation Double Shot, did you have extra officers in there to do that?
So Operation Double Shot, essentially, we, other than traffic, no, we run it with Port Hedland, South Hedland. For Operation Abbey 8, I'll say 88 all the time.
Is that just the recent?
That's the one that started. We've got some extra resources in town for that. Yeah, but Operation Double Shot was essentially a Port Hedland South End. I think we used Marble Bar for a couple of weeks. They came in, but essentially they were our own resources, other than the traffic component.
So the recent one obviously had a big effect on the CBD in South Hedland,
yeah.
And now that those resources are gone,
yeah.
How are we going to go keeping up that sort of a presence in the CBD?
Yeah,
I was there last night.
Yeah,
and,
it was a bit messy last night.
It was a bit messy.
Yeah,
so.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because quite often, and we were talking about this again, is that sort of, that's a Tuesday night, At the moment, our busiest nights are Mondays and Tuesdays at the shops, believe it or not. Fridays and Saturdays and Thursdays, they all meld into one. Every day is a busy day. We don't roster highly for weekends. We roster for the whole week, and we need staff on Tuesdays. Then we had two stabbings at the shop last night. We've got a lot of extra people in town again at the moment that came in for funerals from all around the state, and the funerals were out down Jigalong Way, and a lot of them didn't get in cars and get down to there, so they're stuck in town. The operation double shot into Avia was designed to give us a really good kickstart into the new financial year, and I didn't touch on it before, but we are significantly down where we were at the end of the first month of the last financial year, so we're doing really well in that space, with the exception of domestic assaults, which again I didn't touch on, which are really spiking at the moment, and that's part of that antisocial behaviour in the shops. In the next 3 weeks, we are again ramping up, so we're not planning on dropping it off, it's how often we can do it, and we can't be there every night for 4 hours. It's just physically impossible to do it. So we've got to be a little bit smart about the way we go about it. So we're there again the week this weekend, and then we've got a police dog in town for the following week. So that's not a drug dog. So I'm not letting any cats out of the bag. We're going to have a dog running around that's a general purpose dog, and he's a handler, and he'll be out with the dog walking around the shops and that sort of thing. So the visibility will be good in that sense. The truck at the moment, which we use, which to great effect when we park it up at the shops, is currently down at Roeburn. That's something that we will use up here. We share it between Karratha and here, essentially. So that will spend half its year up here, hopefully, and we'll have that parked up. And our community engagement officers, we trialled that last year as having them down there for 2 hours, 2 days a week. So there's things that we've got in place, but we can't be there all the time. And that's not because we don't want to, but our demand doesn't allow for us to be there permanently. And that's something that we work with the shops with and the security. They've been really good. The relationship we have with them at the moment is they will come out the front of the shops, they will ring us, we'll zoom the cameras straight in on them. We'll have someone monitoring them dealing with a scenario which they would ordinarily not deal with, and then we would be there as quick as we could, which is what happened last night.
Look, if this question is above you, maybe the inspector can give it a shot. When are we going to get this program that's Kununurra's got in Port Hedland?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure. I'm not sure the boss will even know that. I mean, that's trialling. We're talking about the card system. Is that what you're talking about? Sure. Yeah. That's a government trial, I understand, Kununurra.
Do I have to get on to the commissioner for that?
Or? It's a federal government trial associated with benefits.
Our aim is to do a full needs analysis, drill down in what the factors are specific to this community. Whilst there are similarities with other communities, each one is unique, and we really want to know the full problem, the complexities around it, because if you try the broad brushstroke, sometimes it's problematic. We certainly involve local government and other government agencies to come up with a collective solution. The centrepiece is alcohol, 100%, and unless we're ready to make strong, sound decisions around the restriction of it, all the best intent and all the other programs are going to fail. So we've got very strong views. We'll make that known with our colleagues in other government departments. It needs a holistic approach. Whatever application process we go to the director of licensing needs support from local government. It needs to be factual based. It can't be just opinions. It needs facts and data around these things. It's more persuasive. Education in relation to the issues they have with young children and the like. So a full comprehensive analysis will better inform. So when we go to the director and ask for certain strong enforcement conditions, we're better placed to support our argument and get the outcomes that we need. Longer term, federally, I certainly can't speak on what they do there. It'll be interesting to see the trials that are going on in other towns. Here's an opportunity for us to be a trailblazer, so to speak. You know, they're actually tackling their issues. So, I'd like to see, certainly in the near future, once we've got all our facts and data, and we sit down with people of influence in this town, both community level and government and non-government agency level, to come up with a solution. We've talked it to death, no doubt, and every town's done the same. But at some stage, this is a line in the sand moment, I think, for the community of South Edmonton in particular. So, but again, I really look forward to sitting down with council, and in particular the mayor and yourself, to get your thoughts on it and look at ways of moving forward and solving it, at least tackling it and reducing the harm.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your presentation tonight. Thank you very much. I know, Sergeant, you were wanting 2 hours, but we have gone a little over time, but I think we've all found it very useful. So please, again, everyone, show your appreciation. Thank you. So you're most welcome to remain and watch the course of the meeting, or you're most welcome to leave as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, item 8, questions from members without notice. Deputy Mayor?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Mr Atwood asked a question at the last council meeting, and we had a response that the 15-16 legal fees for the airport were $122,000. My understanding it was close to $1.2 million. Can I get a response on that?
Acting CEO.
Through the chair, I do believe it was higher than that, but I will need to get some clarification to give an exact figure.
Take it on notice.
Okay. Also, I've asked for copies of the agreement between the Town of Port Hedland and Macro Realty. I haven't checked my emails today, but I asked for it 3 weeks ago. I asked for it again on Monday, and I still haven't received it.
Acting CEO?
Through the chair, I can provide that tomorrow, and I will do that.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That's all at this stage.
Thank you. Councillor Gillingham?
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. I didn't manage to view today the mosaics that we used to have at the airport entry, but I know that the wall has been rebuilt there on the entry there. I just wanted to know, are the mosaics being re-presented there? I'm not sure. Is there any update on what's happening on that entry?
Acting CEO?
Through the chair, I will take that on notice. I'm not sure exactly the details, but I'll take that on notice.
All right, yes, thank you. And one more, if I may, thank you. I know we have a late item tonight, if it gets considered, regarding extra costs. I'm not sure whether that was a confidential item, Madam Chair.
No, it's not. No? So all right. It's a late business matter of urgent nature.
Yes, all right. So I just wanted to know that were these extra costs associated with the airport, or is this all part of the airport leasing deal? As I wasn't able to read any attachments to this at this point.
So it precedes the airport deal and has actually been a long-standing and long-running issue, which has been going for the past 4 years. 2013, so 3 years. So it's well before.
It is the one. Okay. Thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hooper.
Nothing, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Riff?
Nothing, thank you.
Councillor Melville?
Nothing, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Newbury?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor
no,
Whitwell?
Nothing.
Councillor Tarbo? Thank you. Okay. Item 9, declaration of all members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper. Can I please have a show of hands?
Madam Mayor, just note that I've only read that. That's
so with the exception of Councillor Melville, Councillor Newbury, Councillor Gillingham, any others for the late item of an urgent nature, item 15?
And other attachments I couldn't open.
And other attachments. You're okay with that, Governance? Great, thank you. But let the hands show, it was 9-0, but the exception of the late item was 3, minus that, and 1 in terms of all attachments. Okay, item 10, confirmation of minutes of the previous meetings, 10.1. Confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary and the special council meetings held in June 2016. Do I have any points of clarification? Councillor Blanco.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd, the minutes of the last council meeting regards to the CEO, they don't reflect the what was decided by council, and I would like them to reflect what actually happened on the night.
So the minutes reflect the confidential schedule that was endorsed.
My understanding of the way the minutes should be displayed, as per the Act and the regulations, is there is not enough information in there for the public to read and understand what happened on the night. I haven't brought my notes on that, but there is a reg there that demonstrates that.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. So we have received advice from the department and from WALGA, and endorsing a confidential schedule when it is a confidential agreement that has been come to, then that is what can be, particularly for personal or employment-related matters. Acting CEO, do you want to add anything further? But it is the done practice. I'll let the acting CEO.
I will just add a further question maybe to the Acting Director of Corporate Services.
Through the Chair, I concur with the advice of the Mayor that DLG advice and WALGA advice is consistent with my view that the Council is well entitled to have a confidential schedule, and as long as the resolution refers to the confidential schedule and that is carried, then the confidential schedule can remain confidential and not embedded within the public version of the minutes.
Any further points of clarification? Okay, I have a mover in Councillor Riff, seconder in Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Okay, the motion is carried 9-0. Okay, item 11, announcements by presiding member without discussion. Again, it has been a busy period in between meetings. I would like to allude to something that's not within this report very quickly, is that census is coming up. It's 14 days until national census. Census is extremely important. Our federal assistance grants, the FAGS grants, are actually decided upon the data that's obtained from census. So it actually, in terms of people numbers, in terms of facilities, in terms of hospital beds, doctors, service provision, extremely, extremely important. It takes 5 minutes. Please, everyone, be an ambassador for census. Please go out there, make sure that everyone does fill out a census form. Encourage your neighbours, friends, people across the road, everyone to please fill out a census form, particularly those in culturally diverse groups, particularly Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, because they're always historically underrepresented in the census. So it's really important for us if we're to become a city and if we're to become recognised, but particularly in terms of service provision, we need to have all the numbers counted. So please be a part of census, be a census ambassador for Tuesday the 9th of August. Okay, disclaimer before we go to reports of officers. Members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on council decisions on items in this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification by the town in writing is received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Also, elected members, whilst you have already declared your declaration, as we come to each item, you need to repeat that declaration and the full wording of the disclosing statement. So just a reminder. Okay, item 12.1.1, proposed policies 2-007, purchasing 2-011, tender evaluation. Simple majority vote, recommendation there. Any points of clarification? Councillor Blanco.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to amend the purchasing policy on number 9. It says, I'll just get the page. Purchasing from Aboriginal businesses, change the $250,000 to $150,000 as per the CEO's delegated register.
Acting CEO, is there anything? Because it does refer to part 4 of the local government regulations. Is there any?
Through the chair, there is a opportunity to provide that larger, I suppose, tender threshold for organisations working in those particular areas to encourage, I suppose, opportunities for those organisations to be able to get work through with local government. So again, that is provided as per, I suppose, the allowable threshold. Again, I'll just maybe defer to the Director of Corporate Services to see if he wants to add anything further.
Through the Chair, I'm sure myself and the Coordinator of Governance are busily searching the functions and general regs to confirm that that's permissible. My initial reaction is that I'm sure it is, but we're just both, I'm sure, concurrently checking that the 250 versus 150 is allowable. So if you bear with us, I think the principle should be fine.
Can I just comment again on that?
Yep, sure.
The 250,000 is clear that it is allowable, but we have a policy in place that restricts, purchases over 150,000, and we're well within our rights to change it to 150,000 if anything over and above that amount is required, then it has to come to council for approval, just the same as anybody else.
Any further points of clarification while we're getting that one sorted out? Okay.
Know the history of it and how it arose. In other words, the difference between the two amounts, 250 and 150,000.
Councillor Blanco, would you like to share where the 150,000 came from?
The 150 is legislated.
Yeah, but 250.
The 250 is legislated as well. So we can approve without council approval. Up to 250,000, the CEO can approve without coming to council, $250,000.
Yeah, okay, but that's not the question I was really asking. What I was asking is, what's the history of this? In other words, why have we got a differentiation?
Oh, well, I couldn't tell you that.
Well, it seems to me fundamental to the issue.
Well, it's not fundamental to me. It's equal. It's equal. You know, if people are bringing,
sure.
Equality.
Okay, everybody. I'll just pull it up at that.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's given his response.
So we
can't
so nobody can add to why that $250,000 was
inserted. The legislated amount that is permissible.
All right, so it was just to toss the balls. Okay.
Anything further, Acting Director?
So through the Chair, if you intended to reduce the allowance to go to Aboriginal businesses to 150 rather than 250, then it's permissible to do so.
Okay. All right. Well, if there's no further points of clarification, I have a mover in Councillor Blanco to a move that with the amended policy for purchasing 2-007 with the change of 150,000 in part 9. I have a mover in Councillor Blanco, seconder in Councillor Tarbo. Do I have any against that recommendation? Just make sure they're all happy.
I'm just ignorant.
Pardon?
I'm just ignorant.
No one's ignorant.
Is that passed, Madam Mayor?
God only knows.
I believe it is, but I'm just going to make sure.
Can't
pass something if we haven't got something up there. So I just want to make sure everyone's happy, clear what we're voting on. It just seems to be a flurry of activity.
Just give it a little bit. Make sure we include that.
Clarification, Madam Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
What would the financial implications and policy implications of this be?
Acting CEO?
Through the Chair, sorry, would you better repeat the question?
What would the financial implications of this be, the change be, and also the policy implications?
Through the chair, I don't think there would be a huge implication. What it would do was make, obviously, it potentially a little bit more difficult for, well, not in regards to maybe Aboriginal or disability organisations, obviously competing for tenders around that same mark. There could be, this was obviously an ability to allow, I suppose, minority groups to be given or have a better access to tender opportunities without actually having to go through that 150 tender process. So I'm not sure, I might just quickly defer to the Director of Works and Services, see if we've actually had many tenders to date within that, or many tenders through disability organisations or Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander organisations.
Just through the chair, I mean, generally Aboriginal corporations are at the quote level, so we tend to provide work opportunities competitively priced with other businesses at generally around 60,000 mark. So traditionally, we haven't had many Aboriginal corporations tender for the larger amounts.
So, mover and seconder, you're comfortable with what's on the screen?
Yep.
Everyone's still comfortable?
Effectively,
okay.
The answer is it doesn't make a lot of difference.
Both of them apply.
For the chair, if that's the intent, then you would need to
just put at disability organisations. Okay. Are there any against? The motion is carried 9-0. Okay, we're on page 46, item 12.1.2, proposed policy 2-016, regional price preference. Recommendation there, simple majority vote required. Do I have any points of clarification? Have a move. Mover and Councillor Riff, seconder and Councillor Hooper. No. Mover and Councillor Riff, and then yours is a point of clarification?
No, mine's a point of opposition.
Are you creating your own standing orders, Councillor? Okay.
No, I'm not.
So I have a mover and a seconder. Great. So I have a mover and Councillor Riff, seconder and Councillor Blanco. I have someone against. So the speaking order is Councillor Riff first, Councillor Blanco second, Councillor Whitwell third. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, the regional price preference was brought in to try and support our local businesses here in Port Hedland by giving them the best opportunities for to do business with our council. That's probably, there's not a lot more to, you know, this is a good thing in that, you know, our small businesses in the town, but also in the wider region, are doing it quite tough. And if we as a town council can support them, then that's all that can be said. Thank you.
Second speaker, Councillor Blanco.
So, Madam Mayor, every opportunity we can to ensure that our local businesses get any procurement from the town of Port Hedland is an advantage to them. It's an advantage to jobs in the region as well. We've been over this quite a number of times, and the regional price preference looks pretty good to me, so I'll be supporting it.
First speaker against, Councillor Goodwell.
Well, obviously I'm not very wedded to the regional price preference, but I can see how people would be, and what concerns me about the regional price preference is that it hasn't got any money associated with it equivalent, right? That is, what are we giving away? Is it, we're giving away, you know, like a dollar, or we're giving away $1 million? Who knows? Because there's nothing in here which tells you that. What it does say is it does say that this will be included in next year's financial statement as a note to the financial statement, which will be after we've given consideration of this year's expenditure. And I'm just against the idea of actually putting things through that have got an expenditure element associated with them, and we are not addressing that issue. Now, we've actually, since we last met at the last council meeting, we've actually allowed over $1 million worth of expenditure, which has not been expenditure planned, but it's gone out of this council. It's over $1 million. And frankly, you know, I just point, if we could get from these people who drafted this, we could get the actual sort of the estimated expenditure, I would be agreeable to it. But I'm not agreeable to that unrestricted expenditure process that's been going on. And I see this as an addition to it.
Speaker for? Speaker against? Right of reply, Councillor Riff.
Madam Mayor, on page 53 of the actual price preference policy, it does state the dollar figure, item 1.1, goods and services to a maximum price reduction of $50,000. So a 10% price preference to an eligible business contractor or supplier is defined in this policy. So we do have a dollar figure there. But it's not just about dollars. As Councillor Blanco said, it's about jobs. It's those jobs you know, go out into other businesses, and then there's families that are here that also have jobs. So by our council adopting this policy, it spreads further than just, you know, the one-off $50,000 figure. So, you know, we've got to adopt this. We need to help small business help our town.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll put it to a vote. Those in favour of the recommendation, a show of hands. Those against the recommendation, a show of hands. Let the vote record 8-1. The motion is carried. Okay, page 60, item 12.2.1, making of the town of Port Hedland Animals Environment Nuisance Local Law 2016. Again, I'd like to declare an impartiality interest as an owner of poultry. In regards to this item, I declare that there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I'll consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
I'd like to do the same. Thank you, Madam Chair. In regard to item 12.2.1, making of the town animals and environmental nuisance local law 2016, with regard to this item, I suspect I have an impartiality interest because I do have two chickens. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Thank you. Okay, so we have a recommendation there. Absolute majority vote required. Do I have any points of clarification? Move, Councillor Hooper. Seconded, Councillor Riff. Do I have any against? The motion is carried 9-0. Okay, we're on page 76, item 12.2.2, making of the town of Port Hedland Health Local Law 2016. Absolute majority vote required. Do I have any points of clarification?
So moved.
Move, Councillor Riff. Seconded, Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? The motion is carried 9-0. Okay, item 12.2.3, South Hedland Bowling Tennis Club self-supporting loan. I'll declare that I have an impartiality interest as I'm a financial member of the Bowls Tennis Club. I disclose that I have an impartiality interest, that there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I'll consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly. Do I have any further points of clarification? Councillor Melville?
Yeah, just a quick one, Madam Mayor. Did I have, in regards to subleasing, did they have someone lined up already?
They sent us a letter, and the letter says that they are going to meet with the current tenant chief. So I'm sure they will do that and then act on that accordingly. So we have that correspondence.
And just what was the intent of the added section on the blue sheet? From the
public agenda briefing, we had the committee come in and attend, and we had quite a good discussion in terms of other ways that we could additionally potentially help the committee. So it was a really positive discussion.
Beautiful. Thank you. That's all.
Do I have any further points of clarification?
No points, so moved.
Move, Councillor Riff. Seconded, Councillor Whitwell. Do I have any against? The motion is carried. That is the blue sheet amended recommendation, 9-0. We are now on page 87, item 12.2.4, Port Hedland Pony Club licence. Simple majority vote required. Any points of clarification?
Madam Mayor, just one. So I did read in there, I'd like to clarify as well that there'll be no extra charge for that portion of land.
Acting CEO?
Through the chair, I'll defer that to the director.
Through the chair, that is correct. There is reference in the lease to us being able to charge for legal costs associated with preparation of lease documentation. I don't believe, however, we would be seeking to impose any costs in relation to lease preparation changes in this particular instance.
The item 3 says that there will be no additional fee, so I just want that clarified, that there will be no additional fees.
Acting CEO?
So, through the chair, in regards to obviously a fee for the use of the land, there will be no fee for that. And as the director pointed out, we would not be charging any of the legal costs.
Okay, that's good.
Sorry,
okay,
just what one point of clarification from the
acting
through the chair, if the inference may be in relation to other unintended fees, then it's also a given that may have implication on their assessment of GRV for rates payable, but that's not a fee payable under the lease. That's a cost attributable to the lessee as a use of the land. So there may be a small additional impost in relation to the calculation of gross rental value that may subsequently impact upon their rates, notwithstanding the fact that the council does give concessions to the Pony Club to the extent of 50 or 100%. Can't recall offhand personally, but 100%. So there will not be no fees nor additional rates based on the council's resolution proposed with the budget regarding concessions.
Well done, staff. Yes,
no,
Councillor
I'm happy
Gillingham.
To move it, Madam Chair.
Okay.
There's no more points of clarification.
Move, Councillor Gillingham. Seconded, Councillor Melville. Do I have any against? Motion is carried. 9-0. Now on to page 93, item 12.2.5, Cyclone Emergency Support Reserve Accounts. Absolute majority vote required. Do I have any points of clarification? Councillor Tarbo.
Yeah, just who can authorise a use of this account and what's going to be the trigger to be able to use the funds in that account?
Acting CEO.
Through the chair, normally if we were looking to use a reserve account, we would, for a particular purpose, we would be coming back to council. Putting a proposal forward of what it was for, what it would be spent on, and the request to utilise the reserve amount.
Okay.
Any further points of clarification?
So
Councillor Hooper.
So moved.
Moved, Councillor Hooper. Seconded, Councillor Whitwell. Do I have any against? Motion is carried, 9-0. Item 12.2.6, Richardson Street Boat Ramp. We also have a blue sheet of paper with an alternate recommendation. Do I have any points of clarification on either recommendation? I'll start with Councillor Whitwell first.
Yeah. I'm confused about the issue to do with how long we have to enter into a release for, right? Because we seem to be progressing with the marina, and the marina has got that same thing in it. So how long are you looking at a lease for?
Acting CEO?
In practice.
Through the chair, currently we're requesting a 21-year lease, which is obviously through either party there's an ability to obviously terminate out of that early without any associated costs apart from the requirements, as we would be right under the current situation having to return the facility to its standard, which is acceptable. So that's the same as right now, with the obviously some of the uncertainty potentially about whether the port would A, continue to operate it, or B, sure, would maybe close it.
I can see now. So there is that element of being able to get out of it just one of the parties deciding not to continue.
As you would lease a property, you can give notice to move out of a property. It's a lease. This is a lease. Same scenario.
Well, sorry, if I may just.
Sorry,
ask
councillor, I can't have you debating.
I'll ask a question.
So yeah, you can ask a question.
So, what I'm asking you is, are you sure of that flexibility?
Acting CEO.
Through the chair, I am certain that leases always provide exit opportunities. I can, and I will just quickly defer either to the director or maybe to the leasing officer for full clarification on that.
Through the chair, I concur that your view is accurate, that every lease that I've ever witnessed, including this one, does have an exit clause by mutually agreed terms. So, yes, that would make you mutual. Otherwise, it would be by arbitration, of course, pursuant to the arbitration clause in the lease. There is no discretion, however, in relation to seeking a shorter term. So the option to renew is for the second 21-year term. Not that understanding. Council's resolution is clear that if a subsequent boat facility is accessible to the community, at the new marina, that we would seek to exit this document and exit the lease. We would, our presumption, dangerous as it may be, is that the Port Authority would also gladly seek closure of this lease and closure of the boat ramp, because we have a mutually agreed position that we want a preferred different location, notwithstanding we haven't necessarily agreed on the preferred different location.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councillor Blanco?
I need some time to read this alternate. I'm a little bit confused with it.
Do I have a mover and seconder to suspend standing orders? Move, Councillor Gillingham. Seconded, Councillor Hooper. Anyone against suspending standing orders for 5 minutes? Okay, 5 minutes of suspension.
Point of clarification.
Yeah.
Have we entered into conversations with the Port Authority?
Acting CEO, have we entered conversations with the Port Authority?
We don't have to.
So through the chair, we've obviously entered negotiations with regards to our right of renewal for the lease. There have been some informal discussions with the port, the community consultative committee that was last week, and there's beginnings of that discussion, but there's no real commitment for the port saying, oh yeah, that's great, yeah, please get out of the lease, we'll look after it and look after things. So there is not that level of commitment. It's obviously very closed, I suppose, the discussion around the opportunities for that. But notwithstanding that, there is the discussions that are in regards to marina boat ramps like the like. There is a definite benefit and I suppose an interest in the benefit of closing Richardson Street boat ramps when a viable alternative option is available. And we are working obviously against a resolution still of council of May last year, which actually does state in there that we would look at moving out or closing the Richardson boat ramps with a marina developed.
When the marina is developed.
That's right, when the marina is developed.
So we can pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I just, again, stressing the point that if we decided to, not to go down the lease, which does secure us and make sure we have access, yes, we do have a cost associated with that. The costs of exiting could be extremely high and could actually also result in a closed boat ramp, even after we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So this is a point of clarification. Regardless of when a lease expires, we're going to be up for the 500.
Potentially, again, it's you move a pretty bad analogy, but if you move out of a property and it's a mess, you're going to lose your bond, you're going to be up for costs of fixing it and putting it back into a state that you occupied it in.
Again, I'm just using the figure that's written here.
Yeah.
So, potentially, if we want to use that word. So, yeah, right here. So, even in 4 years' time, for example, sit down and review this again, depending on
potentially the it would be in the Port Authority's advantage to keep it so they can access the port straight away. Just, you know, if the marina is done and it's operational, they'll close it off and use it themselves. That's, you know, unless they're going to use it for something else, you know, and then we don't have to fork out any costs. That would be
At the same time, they're not going to shut it. If we walked away, they're not going to...
Well, they could.
But do you really think they'll...
Well, you got Finnegan boat, right? Use that one.
Are they going to send an emergency fleet out there when there's a boat bobbing up and down in the middle of the channel?
Okay.
Loads of pretty ballsy call in there, but...
I'd just like a clause which gave us a little bit more clarity about when, if we find it useful, because we've got another source of entry into the water, that we can get out of it without any substantial carry-on, you know? Like, we just got to have a little clause in there which allows us to do that. Mutually.
We're not going to do that, but...
Unfortunately, we can't do that, can we? It has to be...
Debating, guys.
I'm sorry, we negotiate. We don't just go wrong
no
side.
Standing
on
the sounds, it's okay.
No, I don't think so.
So we can ask, you guys negotiating that?
Negotiating in relation to the dredging?
Yeah, no, you're negotiating generally in relation. You're signing a new lease.
It's not, no, through the chair, it's not a new lease, it's an existing lease for 21 year old.
Yeah, sure.
So it's existing.
We can't negotiate. Everything can be negotiated. You could. We're not in a great position to negotiate, with 3 days to go to the 3rd of August, in particular. Just worried about it hanging around in the next. We've got to advise them of their option by the 3rd of August.
Are we ready to resume standing orders? Move, Councillor Blanco. So move, Councillor Blanco, seconded Councillor Tarbo. Are there any against resuming standing orders? Okay, any further points of clarification, or can I have a mover and please signal which recommendation you're moving?
Madam Mayor, can I
start with Councillor Blanco, then
move
Tarbo.
The original officer's recommendation.
Okay, so move, Councillor Blanco, seconded Councillor Tarbo. Do I have any against the original recommendation? The motion is carried 9-0.